Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say a big thank you for taking out time from your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, June 22nd, 2023. Summer is in full swing, my favorite time of year. And always on The Cross in the Desert, my aim and my goal is to educate you about what is happening in the Islamic Republic of Iran under the tyranny of a dictatorship government that controls your life from cradle to grave. And today is no different. Today I want to talk to you about a dear friend. Her name is Marzeya Amirzadeh. She's an American citizen right now. But 14 years ago, she was languishing in an Iranian prison with her best friend, Miriam. Both of them had been arrested for distributing Bibles in Tehran. Of course, that's against the law, against the Islamic Republic's law. Christians can't do that. And they were both sentenced to be hanged. But one of the greatest outpourings of human rights activities took place with millions, I think, all over the world. Human rights activists put pressure on this government to the extent that in their wisdom, if you want to use that term, after about 340 days of captivity, they released Miriam and Marzeya. Well, Marzeya, like I mentioned, is a citizen, and she lives in Georgia. She's been a guest on my radio program several times, and I've featured many things that she has written in regard to how we believe the election was stolen in 2020. And she talked about how that incident reminded her of how the Islamic Republic rigged the election in 2009 when she was in prison. I want to feature an article from Marzeya this morning that is so well written. It puts into perspective what I've been saying on this program for many months now, that the Biden administration, just like the Obama administration, is hell-bent on appeasing this terrorist regime by even deciding or even being willing to sit down and renegotiate an Iran deal, an Iran nuclear deal that President Trump prudently tore up when he was president. But now, once again, there is talk. There has been, let's say, underneath it all, there has been suggestions that Biden would be willing to do, as his predecessor Barack Obama did in 2015, to sit down with the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world and renegotiating an Iran deal. Well, my dear friend Marzeya has a way of putting things in words, and this topic is near and dear to her heart, just like it is to my heart. And recently, she wrote an article for Town Hall. It's entitled, No Deal for Iran. I want you to hear in her own words what she has to say about the Biden administration. I want you to listen carefully and just listen to the depth, the understanding that she has of the implications of re-signing another nuclear deal and what it would mean to the Iranian people. Here's Marzia. It is impossible for me to read reports of the Biden administration negotiating a deal to placate Iran's Islamic regime today without bringing me back to my cell in Iran's notorious Evin prison in 2009. What the Biden administration is doing is misguided and dangerous. It will not bring peace or change the nature of the Islamic regime and its goals. It will only embolden and empower them, giving them billions of dollars to spend on their evil web of global terror, persecution of women, of religious and ethnic minorities in Iran, and the goal to destroy Israel. When I was arrested and on trial serving 9 months in prison in Iran just because of my faith in Jesus, I saw the evil face of the brutality of the Iranian regime in a way that most don't, and certainly many don't live to tell about. I was sentenced to death by hanging simply for becoming a Christian. I experienced Iran's persecution of Christians and ethnic minorities firsthand. Through laws that have no justice, they subjugate women into lives of prostitution, drugs, and loss of hope. Following nationwide protests over election fraud beginning this week in 2009, President Obama and the West turned their back on the Iranian people and what had been, until that point, their best hope for freedom from the shackles of Islamic extremism. As the regime arrested people by tens of thousands, overcrowding my prison cell and many others to punish and break the spirit of those protesting around the country, President Obama extinguished the hopes of countless Iranians desperately looking for change in their lives and their country. Thousands of Iranians were executed, including my best friend Shirin Al-Mahuli. While the title of his book, Hope and Change, sold many copies, for Iranians, these were hollow words. As thousands of Iranians were executed without even being arrested, much less given a trial, their bodies never to be seen again, President Obama became a willing enabler of the evil regime whose only mission is to control their own society and take over, if not destroy, the rest of the world. If Iran is so callous and violates human rights at home, how can anyone trust the regime to do any better around the globe? While in prison, I prayed that somewhere, someone would understand that this was the opportunity to help the Iranian people to restore control to their country and free themselves from the evil that controls it. I could not understand how and why anyone, much less the leader of the greatest nation on earth, could not understand this and not do everything possible to help the Iranian people. Hundreds of thousands or more felt betrayed. Why does talk of democracy stop at the borders of the country that is singularly the greatest offender of human rights, promoting and financing terrorism around the rest of the world? Religious freedom and women's rights cannot be empty words in the face of a regime that does not care. I prayed for President Obama to do the right thing. Sadly, my prayers were not answered. Rather, what he did was treacherous. Today, his vice president and now successor is trying to set the clock back with the same strategy of placating, not defeating the evil. If President Biden cannot see the Iranians blatantly breaching every agreement that they have ever signed, enriching uranium to a level that can only be for a weapon of mass destruction, threatening Israel and the rest of the world, then Biden's naivety is even worse. It is a willful appeasement of the violation of human rights at the highest degree. Now, an opportunity in the form of another revolution against the regime that has become widespread is being allowed to be extinguished rather than strengthened. This revolution is being led by women following the brutal murder of Mahsa Amini. Will her death and the death of hundreds of others since be in vain? Will this become another failed opportunity to bring down the regime and restore freedom to all Iranians? Can anyone in the Biden administration truly believe that by pumping tens of billions of dollars into the Islamic regime that they will ever do anything good with it? Or have they just written off and funded the Iranian people being brutalized and suffering alone? Does anybody care that the Iranian tentacles reach every continent and that given the opportunity, they will use them to harm anyone who gets in their way? When Iran threatens to destroy Israel, these are not empty words. It is premeditated genocide. Given the means, they will do so and then hold the rest of the world hostage. Now, Biden is providing the funding and turning a blind eye. Women are leading today's revolution, but all Iranians will either benefit from its success or suffer another generation of brutality if the Biden administration's deal that placates the regime is allowed to stand. When President Biden and his advisors go to sleep at night, they need to consider which side of history they want to be on, the side that is part of liberating Iranian women, Christians, other religious minorities, Kurds, or anyone who does not embrace Islam in the narrowest extreme way that is required? Or will they embolden and put fuel in the tank of the regime that seeks to control and ultimately destroy much more of the world's population? Will history of 2023 be written that was the shot heard around the world to take on and ultimately take down the Iranian regime? Will the Biden administration lead the charge or lead the retreat? Just as I was sitting in Evan prison not knowing what my future would be and if any day I would be executed simply for my faith, there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, sitting in the same dank, dark, and smelly cells who look forward to the West for their freedom. I pray we will not let them down this time. I pray that the Biden administration will seize the opportunity to bring freedom to the Iranian people, not placate, and certainly never be an accessory to the brutal murder, torture, rape, and hijacking of a whole country and its people. Marzia Amirzadeh, my Iranian-American friend, and she is very active, being a voice for the people of Iran just like I am. And her article asks that all-important question, will the Biden administration placate this dangerous regime or will they speak up for the hurting people in Iran who are suffering every day under a dictatorship government? It's food for thought. It's something that you and I have to think about because it says this. The Obama administration turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to the cry of Iranians. And now his vice president, his successor, is now president. And will he do the same or do the right thing? Well, we know how much Biden is interested in placating China, Russia, and other countries. Is he going to do any different in Iran? I want to hope that he would, but I don't think so. That is the kind of president that we have. His actions will embolden this terrorist regime and many more Iranians who are crying out for help and looking to the West will be sadly disappointed in the end. Just to show you how cruel they are, just recently, there was a young man shot dead as he was mourning at the gravesite of his cousin, Kian Perfilak. Kian, of course, was the 9-year-old boy shot and killed during the Woman Life Freedom protest just last year. The name of the man shot dead was Poya Morilod. He was seeking solace at the graveside of his cousin, and he was shot dead. You cannot mourn the death of your families in Iran. And what do world leaders do in response to this grave injustice? It's horrible. It was back on June 11th when the Perfilak family and supporters gathered at Kian's gravesite in the city of Azza amid a heavy state security presence to remember the child on what would have been Kian's 10th birthday. His cousin, age 21, was shot dead. Images of his bullet-ridden body were shared on social media. Now, the Iranian officials have an explanation every time they kill someone. Oh, this man tried to drive his car into police forces. But that has been disputed from everyone at the gravesite that he did any such thing. The Perfilak family is among more than 500 families whose loved ones, including dozens of children, were killed amid the Iranian government's violent repression of anti-state protests that were at their height between September and January following the death of Mahsa Amini. Last week, more than 30 relatives of slain street protesters, mostly grieving mothers who had gathered to remember and honor their loved ones at the graves in Iranian cities, were arbitrarily detained by state security forces. The Iranian government has a long documented history of persecuting family members seeking justice for victims of state violence. And so I just wanted to bring up this article in conjunction with what Marzeya wrote to show you how brutal, which you probably aren't shocked, but to show you how brutal this regime really is. You can't go to the graveside to mourn a family member's death. They will kill you there too. It was 14 years ago. On June 20th, 2009, amidst the anti-election protests when Ahmadinejad was reelected and the Iranians knew it had been rigged, there was a young Iranian woman named Neda Agha Sultan, a peaceful protester that was brutally murdered. I wrote a short blog about her. Her birthday was on January of this year. In fact, it was January, I think, 23rd. Neda would have been 40 years old. But I want to share with you how the death of this innocent protester catapulted me into the ministry that you hear me doing right now. Most of us can remember where we were at and what we were doing when President Kennedy was assassinated. And we can even more recently remember what we were doing when terrorists crashed commercial airliners into the Twin Towers on September 11, 2001. Traumatic events are difficult to forget because of the impact they have on our lives. And I remember I was at home from work on June 20, 2009, relaxing in front of the TV. And that day, my life was changed forever. I was horrified as I watched the video of a young, beautiful woman lying in the streets of Tehran, bleeding to death. She was surrounded by her friends who were desperately trying to save her life. I remember watching with tears in my eyes, hoping and praying that somehow she would survive, but sadly she didn't. The shocking video of Neda Agha Sultan's senseless murder in the streets of Tehran during the botched presidential election of Ahmadinejad had been seen all over the world on YouTube. Viewers had been saddened, stunned, and outraged that a beautiful young woman's right to protest was met with such intolerance and violence. And as I watched the video at that time, and later discovered that the government denied any wrongdoing and showed very little sympathy for Neda's family, it was then my life was changed. I knew I had to speak out. In fact, I found out that her name Netta in Persian means voice crying. And literally, I felt like her voice was crying to me from her death in the streets. Her death has been a life-transforming event. It's resulting in the publication of my many books supporting my Iranian friends. And Netta was never really political, but she agreed that that was the day for her to go and speak out in a peaceful way. But Netta became the symbol of hope and freedom on that day. And since I have first seen that video that the world watched, I have been busy doing this for my Iranian friends since about 2011. In fact, I was able to connect with Netta's fiance, Caspian, and was able to share with him my books that I've written and dedicated to Netta. This past January 23rd would have been Netta's 40th birthday. And on my Facebook page, you will see photographs, some of them with Caspian, who's a human rights activist, playing a piano in front of a huge portrait and picture of his fiance, Netta. And in the left corner of the pictures, you see a picture of the Azadi Towers. And then below, you see the baby grand piano that Caspian is playing. And in the center of the table is a birthday cake. And at that time when this picture was taken, she would have been 30 years old. January 23rd was Netta's 40th birthday. She's no longer with us, of course. Tragically, her life was violently cut short at the tender age of 26. Happy birthday, Angel of Iran. Your voice meaning voice calling, your name meaning voice calling. I pray that we will never stop hearing your voice calling to us to be a voice for the Iranian people. I want to end today's broadcast with a song, an anthem of the Woman Life and Freedom Movement that I want you to hear. It's in English. It's been translated from Persian, and it's important to listen to every word in this song. It is a beautiful, beautiful song, and it was originally written by Shervin Hajipour, who is under house arrest. But this is the English version of it, by Rana Mansour. I want you to listen carefully. This is a beautiful tribute to the thousands that have lost their lives for woman, life, and freedom in Iran. Let's listen.
For dancing in the alleys and the streets, for the thrill and the fear of getting caught kissing, for my sister, my brother, and unity, for all the times we tried to change their minds and stale beliefs, for the loss of pride, for poverty, for the dream of just a normal life for you and me, for all the children who are starving for a loaf of bread, for the greed of politics and all the lies they spread, for all the mass polluted air we breathe, for all the litter in the streets and all the dying trees, for all the animals who suffer from elimination, for all the cats and dogs who love us without no conditions, for all the tears that seem to never end, for all the images that keep on turning in our heads, for a simple smile to last a little while, for the future generations fighting for their time, for empty promises of heaven in the afterlife, for all the imprisonment of beautiful minds, for all the babies who were born and for the ones who died, for all the times you told the truth and all the times you lied, for all the speeches that we heard about a million times.
all the shacks and shelters that were sold to make a dime for just a glimpse of a peaceful life. For the rising of the sun after an endless night. For all the pills we pop just to get some sleep. For all mankind and our country. For all the boys and girls who never knew equality. For woman, for life, liberty.
Rana Mansour's beautiful English rendition of Shirvan Hajipour's anthem, Woman, Life, and Freedom. I want to go back to what I quoted to you in the beginning from Marzeya Amirzadeh's article on Town Hall about how Biden and Obama have turned their back on the Iranians. When Trump was president, he was the voice of the Iranian people. This is one of his tweets to the Iranian people during the 2019 uprising. Quote, "To the brave and suffering Iranian people, I have stood with you since the beginning of my presidency, and my government will continue to stand with you. We are following your protests closely. Your courage is inspiring." Another tweet. "The government of Iran must allow human rights groups to monitor and report the facts from the ground on the ongoing protests by the Iranian people. There cannot be another massacre of peaceful protesters, nor an internet shutdown. The world is watching." That was President Trump during his presidency and how he spoke out for the Iranian people. Isn't that quite different than what you're getting today? As Marzeya wrote in her article, the Biden administration has an opportunity to be on the right side of history if they choose to and say no to this Iran deal, to no to any more talks, to tell them that they must give human rights back to the people of Iran, but they will not do that, will they? No, they are the great appeaser, just like his former President Obama was the great appeaser of the Iranian regime. Billions of sanction relief money went to them. In my book, Uprising, I write, "Dear Mahsa, you courageously defied the hijab law. Your unjust death evolution, an uprising that will never die. We are all Mahsa. They will not force us. They will stop degrading us. They will not control us, and we will be victorious." That is Muse. And I want you to hear their song in conclusion here on The Cross in the Desert. I will see you again on Monday on The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran.